Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, maybe because I'm just so directly connected to it, I'm endlessly fascinated by this stuff. You just said you think Bo Nix, you would be shocked if he doesn't go in the first round of this year's draft. He's the quarterback who started at Auburn, wound up at Oregon, had arguably the most productive season in the history of college football last year. That's not an exaggeration. His numbers were literally that big. You sent me this consensus mock draft thing. Right now, the consensus has him going 44th overall, which is
that's the big board,
a third of the way.
That's the big board positioning, but the mock draft.
No, the big board positioning has him 33rd, and the mock draft has him going number 44 to the Raiders.
Stand by.
I mean, I'm just looking at what you sent me.
You're fact checking me now.
Well, I opened it, and this is what I'm looking at.
Consensus mock drafts.
Yeah.
So there's a what this effectively does is it aggregates like every mock draft and every big board online to make it really easy to see like where all the averages are. And you're right. Bo Nix at 44 right now. My apologies. I think it is a certainty that he will go in round one.
I think he'll go in round one also. Just in case, you know, for folks who did not pay close attention to this, can I just read you his numbers? I just happened to do Bo Nix the other night, so I have him on the brain right now. So let me pull up the numbers that I put away on him, and there are far more than I could do. But here you go. When Bo Nix's name gets called, and I'll add to this, you know, after the combine and the pro days and everything, 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions last year. He made 61 starts at quarterback, which is an NCAA record by a wide margin. The previous record was 53. He also completed 77.45% of his passes. That's also an NCAA record. So he had one of the great productive seasons that we've ever seen a quarterback have. And I think people still have this image of him because it was very high profile when he was a freshman starter at Auburn. People still kind of remember that guy. He's not that guy. First of all, he's 24 years old, so he's most certainly not that guy anymore. I agree with you. I think he's a very intriguing prospect.
I'm going to call my shot now. Bo Nix is going to Denver. I think the Broncos make a ton of sense for Bo Nix, and I'll tell you why. They're going to cut Russell Wilson, and they're going to have to absorb that dead cap charge. And you can't convince me that they're happy going into next season with Jarrett Stidham as their starter. Mm-hmm. What does Sean Payton like in a quarterback? Well, we have a lot of evidence over the course of a long period of time that Drew Brees did certain things that he obviously catered to. He was extremely accurate, and he had lightning-fast processing speed. You just told me that Bo Nix was the most accurate quarterback in the history of college football last year, did you not?
Yes.
He's also really good processing because here are the numbers on that. His average time to throw was 2.52 seconds, which is lightning quick by that standard to measure. And on 496 dropbacks last year, he took 5 sacks. 5 sacks! One out of every 100 dropbacks for Bo Nix. So when I'm looking at the attributes of the things that Sean Payton valued in his last great quarterback, Bo Nix not only has those, but could start for you on day one. What say you?
What the hell? Let's have some fun here. So they pick 12. So the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. I think Marvin Harrison is going to go 4th. So now we get to 5, which right now is the Chargers. I love the tight end Brock Bowers for that spot, the tight end out of Georgia. But all of the mocks have them taking a tackle. So the best tackle in this draft, at least right now, is Joe Alt from Notre Dame. And there are 2 others that will probably go in the top 10 or 12 picks. That would then bring us to the Giants. The Giants then have an interesting decision to make. Once upon a time, they overdrafted a quarterback at number 6. His name is Daniel Jones. Perhaps you've heard of him. Here's the problem, though. It wasn't a bad pick because they took him number 6. It was a bad pick because he's not probably not a franchise quarterback. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be your franchise quarterback for a decade, then it doesn't really matter where you took him. I understand you're trying to maximize value in the draft, but quarterback is so disproportionately important that if you're the Giants and you trade back, you are definitely not guaranteed of getting him. If you stay at 6, I think you're guaranteed of getting him. If that's the guy you identify that you want, that's great. The easy thing to say is, well, if you want him and people are projecting him to go 12 to Denver or something like that, well, then you just trade back. Well, it's just not that easy. Who's trading up and for what? Are people trading up for the receivers, Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze? Are they trading up for the other tackles, Talisi Fuaga or Olu Fashanu? Who are they trading up to get? There's like two good pass rushers, one of whom has a terrible injury history. Laiatu Latu was his name, and the other one is Dallas Turner. So there's not a lot of defensive players that are going to go early. So the point is, I think you take your quarterback now wherever you are. The reason I'm saying all this is that if J.J. McCarthy should ever go six to the Giants, I'm not sure Bo Nix lasts to 12.
He might not.
I think you're going to see trades. The Jets at 10 desperately need an offensive tackle. I could see them in a situation where they have to move up, to be honest with you, a spot or two to make sure they get the guy they want, because there's teams in front of them that are going to take these guys.
The problem with the Jets is they don't pick again until 72.
I know.
So that's going to be a tough move up. The problem with the Jets
is if they don't win this year, everyone gets fired.
I get it.
I think the everyone gets fired factor is the one that you sometimes, because I've been around longer than you, you sometimes fail to put into the equation. And I don't mean disrespectfully. I genuinely disrespect you most of the time, but I'm not disrespecting you now. You're so logical. Like you approach everything so logically that saving your own behind is something that is kind of hard to attach a number to that, but there's a value to it.
So Joe Douglas is going to be more inclined than the average GM to trade next year's
picks. Why wouldn't you? Like, what are you saving them for? If you're Joe Douglas, you're guaranteed to be the director of college scouting for Tampa Bay a year from now if everything goes badly, right? Or whatever job it is he gets. Uh-huh. So, hell yes, I would trade my number one pick next year and the year after that and all the rest of that. And Woody Johnson, who knows if he's paying enough attention to stop him from doing that. Absolutely, you do that.
So, based on all the mocks that you're seeing, if you had to guess right now the number of quarterbacks that go, let's say, inside the top 10, what would you guess?
Four.
And you think it's going to be JJ?
Right.
And so you think, and then you think Bo Nix goes in round one still?
Yeah, for sure.
And Michael Penix maybe is that like trade up to 32 guy to get the fifth year option?
Didn't they do that with, everyone knows they did it with Lamar. Didn't they do that with Teddy Bridgewater too?
They did.
That's who Michael Penix is going to be. You want to get that fifth year. Someone you don't expect will trade up and take him at the end of the first round.
So that means, I guess, by your logic, J.J. McCarthy strikes you as the kind of quarterback that teams will talk themselves into after the season ends, right? He's that guy.
That's what I hear from people.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. And I'm not an analyst, so no one is watching the draft that night to hear my opinion. If you were asking me, between all these quarterbacks, I would take Nix before I would take him.
Me too, but he's 4 years older.
but I don't think that matters, because the quarterbacks play till they're 36.
You don't think that matters at all, how old the quarterback is?
Are you saying that because you mean you think McCarthy will develop more as time goes by, or because you're not going to have him as long?
I mean, both.
I'm not the worried about not having him as long. No one makes a decision in the NFL these days for what might happen 10 years from now. 24 is more than young enough to be your quarterback for 10 years. The people making these decisions are practically assured of being in another line of work.
That's not how they think.
10 years from now.
That's not how they think.
No, they think I'm dying not to be in another line of work, so I'm going to take this quarterback if he's 40. If Tom Brady was in this draft, teams would take him. They would take him because he could save my job next year.
That's true.
See Rodgers, Aaron. These things just aren't that hard to figure out. All right, let's get down to something here.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
I told you at the very beginning of the show that Hembo has caused a schism. He has finally infiltrated my family and run some significant risk of destroying relationships within it. You are going to get Bubba and Cam, you are going to love what I'm about to read you. So for those who were not with us yesterday, my beloved daughter Nikki has a boyfriend. His name is Jake. They've been together 2.5 years. Stacey and I decided they've been together long enough, we should get him a birthday present. His birthday is the end of February. It's February 28th, which happens to be, I think, tomorrow.
That's right.
I wanted to get him because he dabbles in golf, and he knows how much I love golf. I had the idea we'd get him personalized golf balls, which we did. Stacey wrapped them beautifully, and we shipped them. They arrived on Saturday. I know they arrived on Saturday because Saturday afternoon, I received a thank you text from Jake. Both Stacey and I did, thanking us for the lovely gift. I brought up on the air yesterday, what is the etiquette here? If you receive a gift that is obviously meant for your birthday, should you wait for your birthday to open it? Both Bubba and Cam had no problem with Jake opening the gift when he did. Hembo, because again, he has evil in his soul. You obliterated Jake. Let's face
you
it.
You agree with me.
Yeah,
you
what are you talking about?
No, I agree that he shouldn't have opened the gift, but I didn't take it to the... You questioned Jake's intelligence.
Oh, I think he's an idiot.
Okay, fair enough.
Hembo hates Jake.
What is the basis of him being a smart kid?
I don't know. I've met him, and so I know him and I know you. So I'm telling you, this is a battle you don't win. Let's just make that clear. So, and someday when he's running a company you want to be hired by, you'll remember this conversation.
And but so will he.
That's the more important point. But anyway, this is the text I get from Jake after he hears about all of this. He goes and he listens and he writes, "Nothing better than tuning into my favorite podcast and hearing Hembo go in on me. Is this the same Hembo that said the Tyreek Hill trade was terrible for the Dolphins? Look, I feel for him. He is completely overshadowed on your show by two studs in Bubba and Cam. But it was great to see Twitter felt the same way I did. In a world where we're all just one Jalen Hurts Super Bowl fumble away from another year of pain, isn't there no time like the present? Bubba and Cam, what do you think of that?"
I loved it until he brought up the Jalen Hurts fumble. That hurts me too.
But he's aiming it at him.
I know, but I rooted for them in that game too.
Obviously
I love it.
You did.
I love the stud assignment. Yeah. I'll take that.
Bubba, how do you feel about this?
I loved all of it from start to finish. It was just a great text.
It's poetry.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I think the
well
text.
Well worded, just great.
The text
smart
is poetry.
Kid.
And in a subsequent text exchange that he and I had, he told me, "I have to say, I didn't even think to wait to open the present," but that's a whole separate conversation. But now, here's the problem, you guys. Jake has now pledged his allegiance to the two of you.
Sure.
As he should.
My daughter has described herself as a Hembo stan for no obvious reason. It's the most questionable decision I've known her to make in her 23 years of life. But she has attached herself to the Hembo bandwagon, so I fear that Hembo is going to actually destroy their relationship.
There's lots of room over here.
Hembo's wife isn't even a Hembo stan.
That's correct.
That's true.
Hembo's wife. What did Lizzie bring this up yesterday? Did you ask her?
No, she. I did not ask her.
Can we get her? We need to ask her.
I fear what she might say.
What does Stacy think?
I asked Laura. Stacy. You know, I didn't ask her that question. Stacey, I'm not even sure she knows we have a show. You know, she's very busy. Stacey's doing stuff right now. I'm not sure. She's like, "Michael, why aren't you home yet?" "Oh, honey, I've been doing a show. I've been live on the air for 3.5 hours. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And
I've been
for doing 30
this,
years.
I've been doing this for 30 years. She's pretty much beyond it now. If we got Laura Valentine in here, our beloved makeup artist, I'm telling you right now, she's on Jake's side. She told me we should text right now. Would Lizzie answer you if you called her right now?
She would answer, yeah.
We should call her. Can we call her on the air and ask her?
I'm sure we can.
Would she be comfortable with that?
She would have no issue. I just wonder, so long as she has no meetings right now.
Do we have her number?
Hembo's just scared that she's going to agree with us.
Do Cam and Bubba know her number?
No, why would we know
that? I'm more than happy to provide it.
All right, provide that number. Let's find out if Hembo's wife... we have two questions for Hembo's wife. The first is, would you open the gift before the birthday? And the second is, would you describe yourself as a Hembo stan? We will answer both of those questions. And we will answer group trivia coming up next. Hembo, go.
Group trivia is this. I am looking at a list of coaches that reached the Final Four in the NCAA men's tournament the most times. There are five coaches that have 8 or more Final Four appearances, and you are going to give me all 5 coaches.
We are in next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. And we got a lot of things we're about to do for you here. So in 30 seconds, we will answer today's group trivia. Then we will get Lizzie on the phone and find out if she's a Hembo stan. And then we will get into the worst idea I've ever heard about college basketball. All that and more after these 30 seconds from Vivid Seats. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Good group trivia question today, Hembo. Go.
I am looking at a list of coaches that reached the Final Four in the men's tournament the most times. There are five coaches that have eight or more Final Four appearances, and you are going to give me all five coaches.
All right, so we are extremely confident. We have Jack in on guessing today, Pineapple Jack, and the rest of the hashtag crew. We are extremely confident in four of them, right? Like, we're super confident in the top four.
I'm extremely confident in two and confident in the other two, and then we need to figure out a fifth.
I'm extremely confident in three of them. I'm going to go with the three that I feel.
Yeah.
Well, I think we lock in Wooden.
So Wooden won 10 of them. Yeah. So he obviously.
We'll lock him in.
Right.
He reached 12.
He has to be one of
them. We can lock in Coach K.
He reached 13.
Yeah. All right. The one I'm the next most certain about, candidly, is Roy Williams. He went a bunch of times at Carolina and went, I want to say, twice at least with Kansas. I think Roy Williams has to be on this list, guys.
I like it.
We're going Roy Williams.
That's right.
Yeah.
He reached nine Final Fours.
The next one I'm most confident about Izzo, to be honest.
So we talked about Tom Izzo. He won it once. I know he's made a lot of runs. Eight is a lot, though.
I feel like he's always in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Eight is a lot of Final Fours.
Eight is
though.
A lot of Final Fours.
I would say he's in
one at once.
Yeah, he's in double digit Elite Eights for sure. But that a lot of times his round does end there, so I'm a little concerned about him.
Other names we have written down here: we have Rick Pitino, Jim Boeheim, Bob Knight, Bill Self.
And we don't think Dean Smith?
I don't think Dean Smith made eight. Now going all the way back, like a guy like Adolph Rupp was the coach of Kentucky forever.
How many championships did Knight win?
Knight won three.
Ah, that's not bad.
So he's got to go five
more times.
He won
three.
Times,
would he have made five more Final Fours?
He's been in a lot of places, and he was in one place.
He was basically
for a long
at
time.
Indiana forever. He never made the Final Four at Texas Tech.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of his Final Fours would be at Indiana.
It's like 30 years.
Yeah, he coached a long time, but so did Dean Smith. Boeheim coached even longer.
Right.
But it's hard to pick a guy. Are we forgetting Jim Calhoun? Is there any chance, Bubba, you grew up in Connecticut, is there any chance Jim Calhoun made eight Final Fours?
He
won three.
I don't think so. No.
I don't think so either.
No, not possible, no. I'm feeling pretty good about Izzo.
All right. In the interest of moving this along, Cam, Jack, you good with Izzo? Are you good with this? All right, we're going to guess Tom Izzo.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Woo,
Bubba.
Tom Izzo reached the Final Four eight times.
Oh, exactly eight.
Okay. So we have one more.
I think it's Knight or Boeheim. Or Pitino.
Pitino won. Pitino made the Final Four with Providence. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Pitino made the Final Four with Providence.
Providence. Kentucky.
He went with Kentucky. He made back-to-back national championship games with Kentucky. And then at Louisville.
He made it.
He won a championship. He made another Final Four where he lost to Duke. No, he beat Duke. He made another Final Four where he lost to Kentucky. Did he make 8 Final Fours? He's not bad. I think it's either Patino or Boeheim.
Did Boeheim get to 8?
8 feels like too many for Boeheim. If it was me, I think I would go Patino.
Boeheim would have gotten one win in 7.
If it's me, guys, I think I now that I remember Providence with Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
I think it's Patino.
Go with it.
I like Patino. All
right. You like it, Jack? We're going to go with Rick Patino.
And the correct answer is Dean Smith.
Oh. Come on!
Dean.
We talked about him.
Smith reached the Final Four 11 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Rick Pitino is 6th with 7 appearances.
That's excruciating. I mean, to miss on a guy like that, I mean, one of the true legends history of the sport. Like, I just, all those years with when he was playing the four corners and all that, they made the Final Four. It's just, oh, I'm very frustrated. Okay.
Look. His first was in 1967 and his last in 1997.
Yeah, we can't. He got thrown out of a Final Four game also one year, which was late in the game, which was just hideously awful.
I'll be honest, that's a bad miss for you.
It's a bad miss. Particularly, I know, that's bad. All right, give me scores before we bring in Lizzie.
Well, no answer on Lizzie on the first try, so she might be working. But
is Lizzie not answering? Have you been texting with her?
She's not texting me back.
She might be working. She's a busy woman. She's got 2 kids.
Or ignoring the frivolity.
Likelier is that she's just ignoring your text.
Why wouldn't she want to be on our show?
I agree.
I am 17-28. Bubba's 14-24. You're 15-30. Jack is 10-15.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. We continue live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. We'll continue to work on getting Lizzie on the show. In the meantime, let's hear this.
I'm sorry. What? What?
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sorry. What?
So I'm flipping through the channels on Saturday morning. I think I told you I had guests over. We were watching the rugby. I really enjoyed watching the rugby. So after the rugby is over, I flip over to ESPN, and I'm watching College Game Day, and they're there at they're at UConn, and I'm listening to the conversation, and the topic turns to whether or not the tournament should expand to 96 teams. I'm old enough to remember before there were 64, then there became 64, then there became 65, then there became 68. Now the subject has turned to the possibility of 96, and our friend Jay Billis, God bless him, said this.
Never underestimate the NCAA's capacity to do something stupid. And if they did this, it would be profoundly stupid. When anyone says more teams need access to the tournament, every team has the same access to the tournament now. All you have to do is win your conference automatic bid, which is against your peers, with a group of teams that you have chosen to be among. And every team is in the tournament already. All you have to do is win your conference tournament. You're already in the tournament. And what are we going to do now? We're going to go to 96, and we're going to print the bracket out first on legal paper, then on a roll of toilet paper, and just roll it out. It doesn't make any sense.
Attaboy, Billis. He's 1,000% right. I can't believe there's anyone here who disagrees with what Jay just said. Why are you laughing? Do you disagree?
Yeah, absolutely I disagree.
Oh, come on.
I think the tournament should expand.
You can't be
Why?
Serious.
Why? For what? Of all the ideas you've ever had, this is the first one that has made me want to take your name off my books. It's so bad. What possible reason could you have for wanting to expand the tournament?
Do you enjoy the tournament as it is now?
Yes.
It would be made better by adding teams.
No, it would not.
It would definitively be better by adding
teams. I don't
even
want to watch it if it expands.
I mean,
Bubba, I guarantee you would take off the same way that you do now, and you would watch every second of those games on Tuesday and Wednesday just like you do on Thursday and Friday.
But you are missing the most important part of this.
Which is?
It is not just about the tournament. The tournament is not just a tournament. It is a means for determining a national champion, a champion of the year, the team that deserves to win the championship. My biggest concern about college football's playoff expanding to 12 teams. And they're talking about 14 teams and talking about 16 teams. I don't believe the 16th best team in the country should have the same exact chance of winning the championship that the best team in the country has over the course of a lengthy regular season. Now, there will be plans in place for that. Teams are going to get buys. They're going to get home games. I get all of that. They're addressing it in college football. And at the end of the day, 12, 14, even 16 isn't an egregious number. The 95th best team in America over the course of an entire season does not deserve a chance to play for the national championship. They simply do not. And it would, to say that it would diminish the regular, it would cheapen the regular season to the point that it would, cheapen isn't even a strong enough word. It would become so cheap, it should have to pay you. They should have to pay you to watch the games. They would be so meaningless. I would be disinterested to the point of, to the nth degree, if you were to expand this thing any farther. If anything, I would take it back to where it was at 64.
I mean, that was a perfectly valid diatribe if you had made it in 1985. But the fact that we already have a 64, 68 team field now means we've already jumped the shark. Like, we've already rendered it an exhibition, for lack of a better term.
No.
Yes, we have. 68 teams right now. You're telling me there's a fundamental difference between a 68-team field and my idea of a 112-team field?
Oh, you're taking it even more than 96?
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now what the difference is. Because the field is filled out now by all of these automatic bids, these automatic conference champions. So of those 68, again, I continue to say the number should be 64. But let's live in the world in which we live today.
Sure.
Of those 68, something in the neighborhood of 40 of them earn their way into the tournament by means other than winning a conference championship, right? How many conference automatic bids are there?
I can get that exact number.
So it's something like that. The top 35 or so teams. If you're going to expand the tournament, you're not going to expand it to bring in more teams from the smaller conferences. You're going to expand it to bring in, instead of the third and fourth best teams from the Big East, the seventh and eighth best teams from the Big East, the ninth and tenth best teams from the Big Ten, the sixth and seventh best teams from the SEC. Those are the teams that don't deserve it. So the expansion of the tournament, what makes the tournament glorious is the inclusion of these small schools, the Vermonts of the world, and all of those who get their one shining moment, and they get to play in a big game and every now and again win a big game. But almost never are they to be taken seriously as contenders. If you let, someone pull up the standings right now and tell me who the ninth best team is in the Big Ten. Right now, who's the ninth best team in the Big
Ten? Just so you know, there are 36 at-larges every year.
36 at-large bids. So that means there are 32 spots for other teams. Now, that's not really the way it works, because a lot of those teams would earn their way in anyway.
Sure.
Teams that win their conferences and all of that. Mm-hmm. So what is Iowa's record?
They are 16-12.
16-12. What's
8-9 in the conference.
They're 8-9 in the conference. Mm-hmm. You want them to have the same chance to win the national championship as Purdue, as Kentucky, well, Kentucky's a bad example this year, as Duke, as anybody, UConn, whoever else is at the very top.
You got to hear my full idea before mocking me. I'm fine with you mocking me.
Your idea sucks.
112 teams. So what you have is this. To incentivize going for it in the regular season, the top 16 teams in the country, and my perfect idea here, the top 16 teams receive a bye. And you get essentially banked a win, an NCAA tournament win. We can even count it as an NCAA tournament win. So the top 16 teams in the country get that.
Okay.
To incentivize conference tournaments and making a run there, not only does the conference tournament champion get in, but for the major conferences, if you get to the conference, if you get to a major conference tournament final, you get in. So immediately there are 12 of those teams.
So immediately the conference championship game is meaningless. Go ahead.
No, it is not. It is not meaningless at all. The run to it is much more meaningful.
Right.
And winning it will help your seed or potentially get you a bye.
Okay.
So this is what you have. You have a first round, Greeny, of 96 basketball teams. You're going to play 24 games on Tuesday, and you're going to play 24 games on Wednesday, and you'll watch them, and they will be glorious, and you know it, even when it's Iowa against fill-in-the-blank eighth-best team from the Big 12, and you'll love it. So there are going to be 24 games on Tuesday, 24 games on Wednesday. The round of 64, like it is now, Thursday and Friday. there will be 16 games on Thursday and 16 games on Friday, because in the first round of my format here, all right, you're going from 48 to 16. You're adding the 48 there to the 16 byes, and so we create a 64-team field that starts on Thursday, just like we know and love, and we have 2 days that lead up so that in the end we get 96 games in 6 days, and we don't water anything down. We just wind up getting way more games that you will watch and that will generate money for the NCAA.
Well, so the watering down part would come on that first Tuesday and Wednesday. Those would become NCAA tournament games.
But no top 16 will be subjected to it.
I understand that. Is there... So I have a million questions. What I admire about you is that you have given this a lot of thought.
It's pretty good, right?
So it isn't as bad as I expected it to be.
It at least works.
Oh, it works. Not everything that works. I mean, as the great Chris Rock once said, you can drive a car with your feet if you want to. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. So the fact that it works does not mean it should be done.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Would you watch any of the 48 games being played on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you would want.
Of course.
Well, who's playing again exactly? You basically said none of the top teams.
None of the top 16.
The top 16 teams, Bubba, are receiving a bye. And so on the first 2 days of the tournament, you're going from 96 teams that get to play those two days to 48. 48 plus 16, those 16 byes, get us to a 64-team field the first Thursday.
That starts on Thursday.
I'm just effectively adding one layer of good games and excluding the top 16 teams in America.
And who... To get to those 96 mm-hmm. from the current 68, that's 28 more teams? Am I doing the math right?
No, because the whole field is 112 teams. I'm making the field way bigger. I'm just banking buys for the top 16
teams in America. So it's
112.
Who are those teams? So you're now going from 68 to 112. So that's 32 and 12. That's 44 more teams. Who are they? You're adding... So
they're the Iowas of the world.
Is it the second... The team that finishes second in the
I mean, everyone is eligible. Yeah, everyone is eligible. I mean, we rank this stuff 1 through 300 and something. We have many objective ways to do it. And instead of fielding this, seeding the field 1 through 68, they will just seed it 1 through 112, and the exercise will be very similar to how they do it now. I'm just adding a layer of first round games to generate a lot more interest on that Tuesday or Wednesday, protecting the top 16 teams in America and making the tournament pop for an entire week. Because look, you can't convince me that it's going to devalue the regular season to such an extent that it won't be worth it, because let's be honest, this has become a 3-week sport. I'm just adding 2 days of compelling games to the start of that time and protecting the very best teams to ensure they don't get plucked on that Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say. I don't hate it quite as much as I expected to, but I'm sure there are a lot of reasons I should. Bubba and Cam, off the top of your head, what's your reaction?
I still don't like it.
Tell me why.
Because 112 teams is too many.
And I guarantee you would have said the same thing in 1985. I'm sure in 1951 they're like, we can't go from 8 to 16. We're watering down this field. It's the best thing that we have. And more of the best thing that we have equals good. Everyone wins. The student athletes win. The paid student athletes win. The TV networks win. The fans win. There's nobody that loses here except for grumpy old men. The only people that lose here are grumpy old men.
So
go ahead, Bubba. You're a grumpy old man.
I just don't know. I mean, I guess like right now, when the first four is happening or whatever the mm-hmm. hell it's called, and I'm not going to watch 16 versus 16.
Right.
But then even when it's 12 versus 12, I don't even really watch those. Like
the difference, though,
then,
Bubba,
we're
is
basically
that,
saying that's what it'll be now. It'll be Iowa versus. You know,
but they won't be standalones that feel weird. It'll all be connected across 2 days, and that is the difference. What I'm effectively doing is making a 4-day extravaganza, a 6-day extravaganza, and everyone that is not ranked inside the top 16 will play. So the 17th best team will play the 112th best team, and that will be a game that I might bet on, you know, Iowa State minus 16.5, and I will enjoy it.
That'll be your classic 5-20 game.
It would throw things off from that standpoint.
Okay, here's what I need you to do, Bubba. I'm not even kidding when I say this. I want you to book Billis for tomorrow. And we will have Hembo present this to Billis, who, again, when this came up, this is what he said.
Never underestimate the NCAA's capacity to do something stupid. And if they did this, it would be profoundly stupid.
So let's see if he thinks that Hembo is profoundly stupid. Let's get Billis tomorrow and we'll talk about it. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Coming up next, we will find out if this is the only program in America that cannot book Hembo's wife. That's after this on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast. Previously on Greeny.
Sent him an awesome gift, and it arrives Saturday. The birthday is February 28th. On Saturday afternoon, I get a thank you text from him saying, I love the golf balls, guys. Thank you so very much for the nice gift. My immediate reaction is, why would he have opened them a week before the birthday? Does it not go without saying that this is a birthday gift?
This is Greeny.
These are the kind of hard-hitting conversations in which we major on this program. Hembo has just suggested something that would revolutionize the most popular sporting event we have in this country, just fundamentally change it from top to bottom, because he doesn't like fun. He doesn't like to leave well enough alone. Something is most definitely not broken, but he's ready to fix it.
I like more fun.
I don't know that you've ever had fun.
I like more things to gamble on.
Fair enough. Well, that I think we can all agree. Starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. So we don't have Lizzie. Am I told that we are unable to book Hembo's wife?
she's a big get.
Is that pretty much where we are right now?
I tried calling multiple times. No answer.
I can't get her.
I've not heard from her either, and I'm not sure what that says about us.
No, I think Lizzie is not answering your call. She's finally come to her senses. Okay, then let me get to something else here. I have been telling you this for years. Mine is that sort of rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after its time.
A genius, you said?
You're a genius.
He's genius, eh?
We're not going to appreciate your brilliance until you're gone.
Brilliant.
I take you back through the mists of time to the early 2000s. July, I want to say it was 2002. What year did the All-Star Game in baseball?
2002, that's right. That's right.
2002. The following morning, two young, then very much unknown radio sports talk show hosts named Mike and Mike both came into the studio to talk about it. And I found, to my shock, that people were losing their minds that baseball's All-Star Game had ended in a tie. Mostly this was a function of the fact that people just like to criticize baseball however, whenever, and wherever they can. So they made a big deal out of the fact that this game had ended in a tie. And I said on the air, I don't know why you're concerned. You wouldn't have cared if the American League won. You wouldn't have cared if the National League won. So why do you care that nobody won? And then I said, if you want to make the All-Star Game important, you would put home field advantage in the World Series on the outcome. You're welcome, America. That was my idea. It remains a good one. They did it for a while. They've stopped. That was a mistake. As commissioner, I would reinstate it. It reared its interesting head. I was going to say ugly head. It's not ugly. It's a beautiful head. It reared its very attractive head again the other day. The subject of the unsightly All-Star Game the NBA just lived through a couple of weeks ago in Indianapolis came up, and Jalen Brunson, Knicks All-Star, was asked, what do we do about that? How can we make a competitive All-Star game for basketball? And here's what he said.
Considering where our game is at right now, it's kind of hard for guys to compete. I'm not saying guys don't want to compete. If something happens, organizations and everyone's going to be pissed. They're going to look at it like it's our marquee guy is getting hurt. Mm-hmm. In a game that doesn't really count for anything. So that's one way to look at it. Another way you can enhance it is like I don't know if baseball does it anymore, but the winner of the All-Star game gets
home court
advantage in the finals. I think that's one way that could at least make it like interesting in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Like keep it close, like have fun, then fourth quarter y'all gotta go. What the NBA did with Kobe.
I'm about to say that, and, that was
Gigi
cool.
When they had like the point total to get there. I thought it made it somewhat competitive, at least when it was close.
So Jalen Brunson has just suggested the Greeny plan for the NBA, that home court advantage in the NBA's finals would be determined by the league that wins the All-Star game in February. This idea is not crazy because the teams in the respective leagues do not play the same schedule. The best teams in the West play each other infinitely more times than the best teams in the East have to. So in a given year where the West is so much stronger than the East, the Celtics, for example, have a much easier path to 63-64 wins than do the Denver Nuggets, let's say. And so you are then penalizing the Nuggets for playing in a stronger conference by giving them home court disadvantage in the finals. Why not place home court advantage on something in which both leagues can compete equally? It would make the All-Star game matter a lot. It would make the fourth quarter of the All-Star game matter a lot. It would triple the audience of the All-Star game. Everyone who turned that game off in the first quarter would stay with it. You would have Charles Barkley and Shaq and Kenny Smith and all of them and Stephen A. and everyone else losing their minds over the outcome. This is not a terrible idea.
Why don't you think they do it in baseball anymore?
I don't remember. But is it because there's so much interleague play now they just dropped it?
No, it's because it didn't work well.
Why didn't it work well?
Because it was much too large an incentive to attach to something for which the players didn't care about.
But you would make them care about it.
I don't think they would all of a sudden start to care about this.
You don't think that NBA players, all of them whom are in this game are stars of the league. Many of them have designs on winning the championship that year. Mm-hmm. If you go back over the rosters of the All-Star game, the 10 who would be on the floor when the game was being decided, at least half of them are thinking they have a legitimate shot to play in the finals this year. You don't think it would influence how hard they played and what the game looked like?
Are you paying them more?
No, I'm not paying them more. These guys make tens of millions of dollars. I'm asking them to play the All-Star game like it actually counts.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. Even if it did, let's say for the sake of argument that it will energize the players and they will play 48 hard minutes. It's still too large an incentive, and here's why. In Major League Baseball, and the reason it was maybe acceptable in baseball, was that home field advantage matters less.
Right.
The home team wins 54% of the time in the World Series. In hockey, the home team wins 59% of the time in the Stanley Cup Finals. But in basketball, the home team wins 61% of the time in the NBA Finals. You would be providing such an enormous advantage for the home team for the winner of the All-Star game, and that's much too important to allow an exhibition game to decide it. In basketball, it's much too important.
Then why you don't have any issue with the fact that Boston may wind up with a better record than Denver, I'm just using them as the examples here, by playing a much easier schedule to get there? You don't think there's an inherent unfairness in that?
I think there is an inherent unfairness in that, and it is unsatisfactory, but it is more satisfactory than one exhibition game deciding it.
Well, as I've been telling you for years now, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. So I had this idea in 2002. What year did they adopt it?
2003.
Yeah. So I would say this time next year, be prepared to hear Adam Silver start kicking this around.
What's likelier, a 112-team tournament or this?
I actually think your idea has a better chance of happening than my idea does, but I think my idea is a better idea than your idea. We'll continue to kick them around, and we'll see if anyone can get in touch with Lizzie between now and then. We'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.